Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at The Gaslight, the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard, right over there on the hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Come over there, check it out, man. It's just a cool hangout over there. It's a really beautiful facility they have. If you haven't been by, it's a top-notch recording studio attached to a great bar. So if you have a band or you are a solo artist, you can come in to the studio and you can cut some live tracks in front of an audience. The audience is on the other side of the glass in the bar setting. And so even if you're a fan, you can come in and watch one of your favorite bands and have a cold adult beverage there and hang out. It's just a real neat place. So get involved, check them out. They're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find everything else at GaslightSTL.com and full listing of events coming up there. So always got a lot of really cool people coming through, national acts as well as all your favorite locals. So get involved and check that out. So also sponsoring this episode is Music Record Shop. They're back, just moved over to a new location on Washington Ave over by right next door to KDHX. So go check them out down there on Washington Avenue in St. Louis, Missouri. New records in every Friday, live in stores, and next one is October 29th. You can come in and see Lucas Jack live in store at Music Record Shop. I follow them online, also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, everybody. This is Beth Bambara, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Don't
everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out tonight. We're at Dead Wax Records. We're here on Cherokee with Beth Bambara. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shane.
I'm very excited about this. this has kind of been a while in the making. Like you've definitely been somebody I've been wanting to talk to for a while. I know it's quite difficult to sync up our schedules with you on the road a lot and things.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year.
Sure, yeah, but it's good to be busy. So
yeah. Definitely,
but I'm so excited that this worked out tonight, we're here at Dead Wax. It's just a beautiful place. If you haven't been down to Dead Wax yet, come check it out. And but the last time I was actually, I haven't been here a while, but the last time I was in here was to see you playing in here, which was a super cool experience.
Yeah, that was really fun.
There's like a little performance room on the back side of the store there, I guess. And then, it was you, excuse me, you and John Calvin Abney, and Kit, and,
yep.
Who, is there anybody?
There was another guy, Daniel Markin.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great songwriter, out of Denton, Texas. Yeah. But kind of like that, I don't know, kind of like indie, like not folk. If you listen to his full record, it's kind of like pretty rock and roll.
Yeah.
But that was a great night.
For sure.
It was
really
fun.
Yeah, I love I just love singer songwriter nights like that, like where, and it's kind of, you know, you kind of all like kind of swapped back and forth a little bit and things, and so it wasn't like a true, like, you know, you do a set and somebody else does a set. So it was kind of that was fun, but you're getting ready to do that again here. So we got it. We do have that St. Louis date to plug, and that'll be November 5th, 8:00, Dead Wax, with John Calvin Abney in town.
Yep.
And you're bringing along M. Lockwood Porter also with you.
Yeah, M. Lockwood Porter is a songwriter from San Francisco, so I'm very excited to have him all the way in St. Louis.
Yeah. Are you meeting a lot of these guys and on the road and stuff?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
It's been good.
And then you're like, hey, let's do a show in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's obviously it helps with the networking. You're just meeting people all over the place and then being able to kind of show swap and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's been great. Even if we haven't been able to actually swap a show yet, I've had really great experiences where I've met musicians traveling on the road, where we're like both on the road and we meet each other, and then like I might get a call from them like a couple months down the road, and they're like, hey, I know this is like, I don't know if this is cool or not, but like I'm in St. Louis and I need a place to stay, and I can be like, yeah, absolutely, come stay at my house.
Sure.
So even if they're just traveling through or whatever, so it's been really great to kind of meet and build up kind of a community of other touring musicians that I've met on the road.
Definitely.
It's been really wonderful.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of this for me wanting to do this show is to allow for us to kind of sit down and get to know each other a little better. I've known you for a while through the music and stuff, but it's a lot of times I tell people, it's difficult for us to kind of talk at shows sometimes
because
everybody else wants to talk, or or you're trying to talk over the music or whatever else. And it's nice to where you can kind of sit down in a quiet atmosphere and get to talking. So I don't, like, when did all this really get started for you to be able to get out and play on the road then and stuff? And
To play on the road, I want to say it's been maybe 3 years ago where I really started kind of taking myself as a musician more seriously and kind of wanting to travel and get out on the road. So yeah, maybe about 3 years.
Okay. And then just pack it up in the car and travel around. And is that just you and Kit a lot of times, or are you...
Yeah, pretty much all the touring I've done so far. Well, That's not entirely true. In the past 2 years, it's been just me and Kit.
Yeah.
Like, a duo show on the road.
Right.
We did do, like, some of the first touring I did, we did take more band members with us, and that was really fun, too. But everybody's schedules are hard to kind of coordinate, and, you know, when you get into, you know, band members starting families and having kids, and it's like, it just makes things more difficult to plan. So more recently, we've just been doing Kit and I on the road as a duo, which has been very fun and interesting to work out. You know, how do we take these songs that are on the album recorded with a full band,
right,
and how do we kind of translate that just as two people taking that out on the road? So it's been a lot of fun to experiment with, and we've had some great shows.
Yeah, that's one thing I did know. I listened to the new record talking about, and yeah, I noticed there was quite a bit of orchestration on there. I mean, you got a lot of different things going on with you know, strings and was some horns too.
I definitely have Kit's brother actually plays lap steel guitar, and he plays a lot of horns, so he layered some horns on the album. And then we had our friend Carl Eggers play banjo. He does a lot of that. And since we recorded that, Carl's moved to Springfield, Missouri for a new job, and so that's kind of like, you know, everybody's just moving on with life.
And sure. It's, yeah.
I feel lucky that we had the experience to kind of record that album all together. It was a really, it was a special experience for me, because we went in the studio and set everything up and tracked it mostly live,
which
is something I've never been able to do before. So that was really, it was a special experience.
Yeah. No, that sounds awesome. I liked it a lot. And just, turned out great. So I think the live definitely is something about that. Just be able to, you know, create it all together.
Yeah. So it definitely gives it a certain energy that you don't get if you're just, layering track by track. But again, it's a hard thing to do, because the band has to be really rehearsed, and they have to know the songs, and you gotta trust your bandmates a lot. But yeah, it was a good experience. You can actually go on YouTube and watch a mini documentary of us recording that album in the studio. So actually, Brian McClelland came a couple of days we were recording in the studio. He came with his video cameras and, like, captured the whole process. It was really weird for me at first to, like, get used to, like, having a camera in the room while we're actually tracking this album. Like, we were making it.
Right.
And he's in there just trying to, like, be a fly on the wall, capturing what we're doing, which I'd never done that before either, and that was pretty cool. But it's kind of a neat thing for me to have, like, a video document of, like, this is what we did. We did this thing. We made this album, and it's a neat memory for me, and it's a cool thing to have for other people to kind of get a look into the process of what we, you know, how we recorded this album and the steps we went through, what it looked like, how everybody was set up in the room. You know, you can see all of that, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that sounds very cool. I'm excited to check that out now. I didn't know that was
I think it's just called, like, mini documentary or something on my YouTube channel.
And Brian's also another friend of the show. I sat with him and Mick and talked about Wolf Thunder. So
cool.
Yeah
They're great guys
for sure. I wanted to talk about the new record. So I guess it's just a self-title, Beth Bombara. And I told you, I wrote a message to you shortly after that, show we mentioned earlier here.
Yeah.
And I said that you made me cry that night, and now that song is on the record, and I listened to it, and, it was, but it's a track called Heavy Heart, and, and that one, but it's something that I like. One, it's a beautifully written song, but you just, when you performed it that night, and just like, you know, there's something about that where you can evoke that emotion, you know, where you can, obviously it's, there's something there that's very relatable, for a lot of people, I think, but, that was a tough time for me. I lost my grandfather not too long, after, or not too long before that. And, so that's what, was, you know, obviously that kind of memory,
that experience was fresh in you.
Sure. So yeah. That was so listening to that again coming over here tonight, so it was definitely one that pulls on the heartstrings and stuff. Definitely get the title of the heavy heart part. So
yeah,
is that come from a very real space for you too? Or?
So I tend to, you know, people ask me, you know, what influences my songwriting a lot, and, you know, is it, you know, personal experience, and that's part of it, and another part of it is just, I'm a pretty empathetic person, and so I tend to see things that, you know, my friends are going through at the time, and, like, it might, spark some emotion in me to, like, write about that, so, right. Like, that particular song, Heavy Heart, is one where it's kind of personal story, and it's also kind of taken from a story of one of my friends.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's just fun to, for me as a fan of singer-songwriters to I like, you know, the stories and things, but it's kind of crazy to get into some of their process, because some of them, you know, again, some of them are writing from a, you know, almost autobiographical experience.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then some of it's a completely made up, you know, fictional story and stuff. So,
yeah.
So anyway, I think it's interesting how many different influences people can come put into their writing and things. And, So that's Heavy Heart's on there. And it's, like I said, one of my favorites from the record.
Thanks.
So, just gonna make sure get some of these other titles right, but the other one in my head I thought was another one that I relate a lot to the lyrics. You know, there was something about it very relatable for me. So
sure.
Again, and that's I think that's probably why I do like as much though like singer songwriters I do like and stuff. Is the relatability, you know, it's like, I don't relate to a lot of stuff that's talked about in pop music or
bumping in the club.
Yeah. No, right. Yeah. That's not me. I'm not,
Are you sure?
All right.
Sure.
Yeah. But I,
I totally get what you're saying. Yeah.
All right. So the believability and the relatability for me is what I connect to a lot more. So
it's almost like relatability, as in like this is like real life.
Definitely.
Kind of. Yeah. Real life struggles, real life perspective.
Sure. Yeah. Well, but even if I don't relate, like, you know, if a writer writes something about, you know, something I've never experienced, still. But I can believe that, like, I know, like, they did.
They can, transport you to this place.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, I don't always have to, like, fully on experience, but I can experience it through them and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of that, but, so what,
Definitely.
How do you feel about, what it kind of influenced in my head for you?
That was definitely, so sometimes when I start writing songs, I'll literally just like get this melody stuck in my head and it won't leave until I try to put lyrics to it and like get it out somewhere. It just like, it like pokes me and pokes me. It's like, I want to get out, you know? So, I think that one's definitely like from a personal perspective of just, in a way, like trying to be, come to grips with like who you are as a person and sometimes feeling trapped in that, but ultimately like needing to be authentic without trying to fake anything.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to also talk about, like, it seems like you, I don't know, yeah, I feel, I put you in there with them, but I feel like there's just so many of these badass women coming out of St. Louis right now. Like, there's so many, like, all these great groups are fronted by women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and a lot of them have been on my show. Luckily, I'm fortunate enough to call them all friends.
Yeah.
I don't know when or where or what happened, but it is really cool to see how many women are thriving right now in our St. Louis music scene. And, like, mm-hmm. You know, I know for me, a couple personal other favorites are Emily Wallace and Hillary Fitz.
Yep.
And, you know, Devin with Letter to Memphis.
Yep.
And
yeah.
You know, just a lot of really cool things going on for females in St. Louis. So, I mean, what is that like for you, to kind of be, you know, is that inspiring or exciting for you to be a part of that?
Yeah, it's very exciting. Like, I'm glad that there's other women kind of feeling empowered, to create music and to put themselves out there. Cause that can be a hard thing sometimes, you know? But I'm super excited for everything that's going on in the music scene, especially for the ladies in this town.
Yeah.
I've seen some great things and I'm super excited
to
see where they take that.
I think I just talked with her a bit ago. Leah Osborne
mm-hmm.
is putting on a festival, all-female festival.
Okay.
A female-fronted festival.
Yeah, like,
There's going to be some guys in the bands, but...
Sure.
But, yeah, she's got all of Miss Molly Sims,
mm-hmm.
Emily and Hillary, and
mm-hmm.
All these ladies that were mentioned, and it's going to be a great show, and it's called Voodoo Mama Fest.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, so...
Awesome.
I thought it was just a fun idea. Like, but that's the same thing we kind of talked with her. Is just like, mm-hmm. there is a lot of, you know, active female singers right now and players and stuff. So it's just really cool to see that they're kind of all getting the spotlight right
now. Yeah, and it's great to see that being supported too, because, like I said, I mean, being in any band is hard, you know, no matter what genre or gender you are, you know, it's tough to put yourself out there, you know, night after night.
Right. Yeah.
But just people are supporting that, you know, in St. Louis is really great. And, you know, I wouldn't be playing music today if I didn't have people supporting me when I started out playing. Like, I want to say I probably played my first show ever, probably solo, you know, just trying to figure out what I was trying to do, figure myself out, figure my sound out, probably like 7 or 8 years ago even in St. Louis. And it's taken, you know, the encouragement and support of other people to, you know, push me to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it weren't for that support, you know, I might not be playing still today.
Sure,
so
yeah.
It's so important that the community kind of rises up and supports the musicians who are doing what they're doing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What, do you remember that first show?
Well, I know the first time that I ever kind of played out in St. Louis was an open mic. It was the Chippewa Chapel, and it was at Off-Broadway at the time.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's that like? I mean, were you like, just... super nervous?
I was so nervous. Right. Yeah, I didn't even want to do it.
Yeah. You get some friends.
But I had some friends that were like, yeah, you should do this.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, on the one hand, it's like, it's just like 2 or 3 songs, you know, what's to be afraid of, you know, but when you're putting yourself out there, you know, and it's kind of daunting.
Sure.
I mean, it was for me at the time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's even doing this show, for me, you know, it took us a while. Just, I mean, we were recording them and putting them out there and things, but you know, and that's kind of the thing. Like everybody's along for the ride. Then, you know, it's like they're all hearing every imperfection and stuff, uh-huh. And it's like, I feel like I finally is starting to get the hang of this after like almost 300 of these now. But, you know, it's the same thing. It's like you do something enough, you're going to get better at it, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
you feel a little more comfortable every time you do it. And, right. And it might not turn out perfect, but, yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's the practice of, you know, doing it.
You're right. So, but every, you know, that's the, everybody's seeing that, you know, as you're developing it and stuff. So, like, you're getting mm-hmm. out there and you're practicing. You can practice at home. Or play at home, or what, you know, and but like, it takes getting out there on stage, I think, to really, you know, to get over all that, you know, get over that fear, you know, that or, you know, whatever it might be, you know. So
yeah, totally.
But I think kudos to those friends that made you get up there and do that.
Yeah.
So I guess is that like immediately hook you? Like, is that where you're like, this is what I want to do, or?
I think it was a thing. I realized that I really enjoyed writing songs, and I enjoyed recording them, but then you have this whole other aspect of performing them in front of people, mm-hmm. which is something that it took me, personally, a longer time to kind of warm up to and sure. feel comfortable with, and I've had people tell me that have been at recent shows that, oh, you look so comfortable up there, you know, which is great, because I'm like, oh, I sure fooled them. Because sometimes I don't feel that, you know. Sure. There's still times where I get, like finished playing a song, and I'm like, oh, shit, I don't know what to say right now. Yeah. I have no idea what to say. Yeah. And, yeah, so there's points where I still get a little uncomfortable on stage, but... For the most part, I've been able to kind of grow into that, and it's just something it started off with kind of a love of melodies and writing songs, the songs themselves, and then it kind of grew into this thing where, you know, I do enjoy performing those songs in front of people, too, so.
Well, I think that's the story with, like, with Simon and Garfunkel and stuff, like, apparently, Paul Simon would like write all these songs, but was like way too shy and nervous at first to to get out and perform them. So he needed Garfunkel to help him out, you know, to be that support and thing. So,
yeah.
But obviously, he turned out all right. So,
yep.
but you know, I think there is something about that. Like, just you know, you got these. I think there's a lot of people out there. And very similar, you know, that are great writers and, mm-hmm. and probably have the talent. Just it's something difficult about making that step to perform. I mean, I think that's what's cool about YouTube was mm-hmm. a lot of people are kind of, you know, you see these, a lot of these people going on, you know, The Voice or whatever and stuff. Yeah. And they've been singing on YouTube for years and then like, and they're great, but it's that whole getting on the stage thing. And it's like, but yeah, I think... there's something about that, but I mean, I think that's the only way to really get out and do it, and is just perform, and that's you know, this. Imagine there's probably nothing like it though. Like there's probably a huge rush, but it's probably incredibly rewarding, I think.
Yeah, it's very rewarding, especially when you. For me, it's rewarding when I can see the audience is very engaged and they're listening and it's like affecting them. You know,
sure.
They're making like.
Like a grown man crying.
Faces, like, they're crying.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time that, after I wrote that song, Heavy Heart, the first time that I ever played it in front of anybody, I couldn't even play it with my eyes open. I had to close my eyes while I was playing it because, one, like, I was afraid that I was going to start crying while I was playing it. And, two, I just needed to, like, not see anything else that was going on with me because it was that emotional for me. And so I played the entire song with my eyes closed and Kit was there at the show and he told me afterwards, he's like, I watched like a couple people get up and leave because they were like, they had tears like coming down their face. They couldn't even like, they had to go to the bathroom to like get some tissue to wipe their face. But those kind of things, like that's part of the reason, like why I perform these songs live, because it's this really beautiful way of connecting with humanity.
Definitely.
It's like when you can share something that really resonates with somebody in a real way, like that's it's just a very beautiful thing. And you can't, like, that's hard to rival.
I agree. That's why I love going to live music. You know, you can get it a little bit on a CD or a record and stuff. There's, you know, it happens. You know, and for some people it's a book, some people it's a movie. But for me, it usually happens in a 3.5 minute song or whatever, and I can, it'll floor me, you know. It's like sometimes there's a lot of them. I don't know what it, I'm a very, you know, happy person in my life, but I like a lot of really dark, sad, depressing music. I don't know.
There's something just really real and human about those experiences.
Sure. Yeah, we all go through it.
Yeah.
You know, might as well sing about it and hopefully try to, you know, help somebody else get through it, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So, I think that's huge.
Yeah.
So the record that we mentioned is all available at BethBombara.com, right?
Yep.
And Bandcamp, I think, and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, but yeah, grab a copy. You have, like I said, I mentioned vinyl because you do have.
I brought one for you.
All right, yeah. But you have vinyl copies available as well as digital and CD format. So is that, what is that, I noticed you've been doing vinyl for a while though, right?
Like, the first full length album I ever put out, I guess it was in 2010. I really, really felt strongly about, you know, trying to make sure that it was out on vinyl, because that's just the way that I enjoyed listening to music the most. And so I just wanted my music to be on that format, because that's how I personally really enjoy listening to music. So.
I'm a bit of a vinyl enthusiast myself, and that's what I think is really cool about, you know, right now, is that there are so many people, you know, that finally vinyl is kind of making, you know, kind of a comeback, and the price has gone down, making it a lot more affordable for independent artists like yourself to be able to even do this, because, you know, for a long time it was you know, quite costly because nobody else was really doing records.
Yeah. I mean, it's still way more costly than making CDs, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, it's doable now.
Sure. Yeah. So I think it's great, and I think I try to buy as much as I can from, I mean, it seems like most of the people I listen to and support, a lot of them are putting out records, and it's just cool to see. I have quite a few collected over the years now, along with a bunch of my stuff that my dad gave me and stuff. I guess he hasn't quite gave them to me. I'm holding on to them right now. I think he wants them back one of these days, but
you're holding them hostage.
Right, yeah. So, but yeah, I bought this real nice piece. Actually, I didn't buy it. My wife bought it for me for my birthday. But it's one. I always kind of wanted one of those long, like, console ones. So anyway, finally got what I was looking for. It needs it needs some work, but it's a real nice piece. I'm excited I need to put some money into it. I just don't have the money yet, but I need to get it cleaned up and stuff. So
that's exciting.
But yeah, I agree with you about the listening. Like, there's something about, you know, dropping a needle and listening to a record like that, and it's just, I don't know, something very warm and I don't know, nostalgic to it for me. You know, just it makes it feel like, even if it's a new record, it feels like it's, you know, you've been listening to it forever.
Yeah. Kind of
thing. So there's something familiar about it.
Yep.
So.
Definitely.
So we got, you're getting ready to hit a couple shows on the road again.
Yep, just a couple.
Yeah.
And then, gotta be honest, I'm pretty tired out from traveling so much.
Sure.
So the plan is probably, be around in town for the winter and work on getting a new record ready to put out, hopefully sometime in February.
All right.
So.
Well, this one just came out, what, May? Or something? Or
it's been almost a year.
Almost a year. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to think. And then,
So it's right. still, I mean, it's still new. It's,
sure.
It's newish. Yeah. But, yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking then.
That's okay. Time flies when you're having fun. Oh, yeah. So you, my friend, must be having loads of fun.
I do like to party, so. You know me up in the club.
Totally.
I saw you, you just played the pageant.
Yeah.
Two weeks ago?
Yep.
With Beth Hart,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was funny that there's two Beths.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. I asked them. I said, "Does she have like this thing on her rider? Well, she will only play shows with other Beths."
Yeah. All right.
That must be.
Yeah. And I need only green M&Ms.
Yes. Yeah. M&Ms with a B on them.
All right. Well, how was that? I mean, I'm sure you played the pageant before.
I've played the pageant before with other bands, but never my own band.
Yeah.
So that was a fun, definitely a good experience.
Yeah, that's I don't know. For me, there's a lot of great rooms in town, but I really enjoy the pageant. I just saw Amos Lee over there.
Oh yeah.
And it was
pretty
incredible. Like
very cool.
I saw him. At Sheldon the year before.
Oof. That's a great room, too. It's definitely. Different. Yeah. They're different spaces. They're both great.
Sure. But, I thought... excuse me. Still trying to get over this allergy stuff.
Oh.
But I thought the Amos Lee Sheldon show was going to be very difficult to top. But he did really well at the pageant. So cool. It was right up there... with it, so I thought it was really cool with him. He did full band rocking for a while and just sounded awesome, and then the band left and he did a couple of tunes acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
Then the band came back and they did a single mic recording.
Oh cool.
And everybody kind of leaned in and did their parts and it was, kind of like the whole sitting around a bonfire kind of thing.
Yep.
Jamming and just a really cool vibe, and then everybody went back to their electric and cranked it up again and ended on a high note and stuff. But it was such a cool experience, such a nice dynamic throughout the show and stuff.
Yeah, that's neat. That's really neat.
So, yeah. He's just one of my favorites to
listen
to. And he's another great writer. And So that was pretty cool, huh? Playing the crowd.
That was pretty surreal, yeah. It was a packed house, and I couldn't have asked for more, really. It was awesome.
Sorry.
Okay.
They were pretty responsive, too, for, like, do you get a lot of people wanting to buy records after this?
Yeah, absolutely. It was really cool because, most of the people were there just to see the headliner.
Mm-hmm.
And they had kind of added us to the bill kind of late in the game. So there were a handful of people who were there just specifically to see us, but the majority of people were there to see Beth Hart.
Yeah.
And and I talked to a lot of people after our set that were super, super stoked, and they were like, "Where are you playing in town next?" And the next show after that was at Joe's Cafe, and there was like a handful of people who had seen us at the pageant that came to our show at Joe's, which was really great.
That's gotta be such a good feeling.
Yeah, it was really neat, and a lot of people left with records, and
nice.
So it was really positive.
Yeah, very cool. Well, hopefully some of those people will come out on the 5th and hang with us here.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I sure hope so.
Yeah, so we, again, November 5th, Dead Wex. We're going to be hanging out here at 8 p.m. You can see Beth Bombara, John Calvin Abney, and M. Lockwood Porter. So I'm excited to see him. It's him, her. Sorry, I don't know.
Oh, him. Yeah.
I'm assuming.
M. Lockwood Porter. Yeah. Him.
Yeah. I didn't want to get in trouble for... but yeah, John Calvin Abney, if anybody doesn't know him, he's became a good friend of mine. Just go through shows. I met him opening for John Moreland a while back, and I was highly impressed. He's just a super great songwriter, but also just a great human being. He's a real nice guy.
He's an excellent writer. He's a phenomenal guitarist when he gets going, man. Mm-hmm. If he's just playing acoustic, you might not know, but
sure.
He played guitar on John Moreland's album.
Yeah, in the Throes, or yeah. was it in that one or in Tulsa?
Both, I think both.
Both of them?
I think both. I have to verify that.
Yeah.
But yeah. But he's been friends with Moreland for a while. They grew up, you know, kind of around the same town. But yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah. So come out, meet John, and hear some of his songs. Do we have a cover charge for that show?
I think it's $15, but it includes some beers.
Okay. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, totally.
Get some drinks,
help out some traveling musicians.
Definitely, yeah, and a very limited seating, kind of intimate space here. So, if you're... I guess there's a ticket link on the Facebook event and stuff.
Yeah, right? There is. Yep, you can get a ticket ahead of time so you know that you will have a seat.
Yeah. And then, pick up the record at BethBombara.com.
Yep.
And we're going to play some tunes. We're going to drop some tracks in here so you can hear them. And, But, yeah, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for taking some time out to do this.
Absolutely, Shane.
I'm glad we worked it out.
Totally. After like a year.
I like to extend the invite, and I say, hey, you know, let's try to work something out, and you know, you're not allowed. Like you're saying earlier, we got lives, you know, we all things get in the way. It just, you know, I understand, but I like to think that these all kind of work out at the right time, you know. So it worked out nice. We have a great show coming up and promoting stuff. So.
I'm super excited about it.
Yeah. So, don't worry about me. I'll be here ready for another one whenever you are. And
all right.
I'm thrilled that this worked out tonight. And,
sounds good.
It's been fun hanging out. Yeah. So
thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Shane. My father tried to explain.
I never kissed the face of his own father. He said I was just a boy when my daddy tucked me in one night with next morning's light. He never opened up his eyes again. What can you do with a heavy heart? It'll break you down, remind you who you are. It'll remind you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.